So, following the lectionary, we've been looking at St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. And we saw last week that the church of Corinth was somewhat troubled by factionalism. Everybody seemed to be wanting to identify with somebody other than, well, who the other person was identifying with. And some with Paul, some with Apollos, some even saying, well, I'm with Christ. And Paul condemns this as carnal or fleshly. That is to say that this attitude of theirs he identifies as originating with our tendency to let the flesh, let our bodies and how our bodies are making us feel determine what we are thinking, what we are feeling, how we are responding. And it is this this fleshly or bodily impulse that Paul identifies as the source of their factionalism. And he puts over and against that what they are called to. Namely, they are called to be spiritual, as we pray every liturgy. Just before we read the gospel, we ask that we may be led into a spiritual manner of living, thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing to God. And more than that, he emphasizes that they have the Spirit of God. And he talks about how the Spirit of God reveals what is in God, just as the spirit of a man reveals what is in a man. And so he says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us and uniting us to one another. And this is what should characterize us. We should be spiritual. We should be growing up into the Spirit of God, into the mind of Christ. And yet, he says, I can't address you this way. I have to address you not as spiritual, but as carnal or fleshly. Because, and I can really only give you milk to drink, not meat, because you're just babies. You're acting like babies. And then he talks about himself and Apollos. And as you'll recall, Apollos was somebody who had come in and into the Church of Corinth after Paul. He had been taught by Priscilla and Aquila, and so who had been taught by Paul. So he was working for the same end, for the same purpose as Paul was. And he had come in, and then some of the Corinthians had latched onto Apollos and were putting him over and above Paul. And this brings us to where the epistle reading that we heard, the bit of it today, where he says, he's just said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We're just ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. So now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Messiah, is our foundation. And we are the ones who are built on him. The church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we're all laborers. We're all working at building up in our own way, with our own gifts, this holy temple, as Paul is going to go on and characterize it. says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So the image here is that of purification. If you are building, you can use different building materials. And he lists some possible building materials: wood, hay, straw, gold, precious stones. And then he notes that what's going to happen is that at the end, everything will be tested by fire. And as soon as you say that, you can kind of imagine and envision what's going to happen to all that wood and hay and straw. It's not going to survive. But, and so this the fire of God's judgment will reveal the quality of each one of our work. And some of our work will survive. Some of it will be beautiful, because it will be beautiful, precious stones built, which I would assume represent our self-sacrificial agape love labors that we perform for one another, that knit us together with one another, that endure this fire. And others, maybe some of the stuff that looks quite splendiferous, will actually just be burned up because it was done out of impure motives for self-aggrandizement, because we want it to be better than somebody else, or out of pride, or out of whatever else. The day is coming when each one of our labors will be revealed for what it truly is. And Paul's going to continue to develop this understanding as he goes. If anyone's work which is built endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So he's been developing this image of a building which is being built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, by himself, by Apollos, by all of God's, of his fellow laborers, all of the followers of Jesus Christ. And then he points out that this building which has been built, which is being built, is us. We are the temple of God. Because what is a temple? A temple is that which is here on earth, which reveals and is in some manner indwelt by the divinity. And in our case, we are called to reveal the presence of God. We are called to be indwelt by God himself, by his Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, which makes us one body, also makes us the temple of the living God. Temples are holy places. They are sacred spaces. And so, and then Paul in the next verse goes on to build on that. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. How must this have resonated with the Corinthians, who are trying to tear one another down and build themselves up, as they realize, wait a second, assuming they're listening to this, I've just been tearing apart the temple of the living God. I've been defiling the temple of the living God. How should this resonate with us as we reflect on it? As we struggle to honor one another, to love one another. We don't all have to be friends, but each one here is a part of the temple of the living God. Each one here is because of that, a sacred space. Sacred, holy. And damaging and hurting one another is damaging the temple of the living God. Do not defile the temple of God. Paul goes on to talk, say, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. One of the things that that Paul has already been talking about is the wisdom of this world. Whether that be what the Jews are seeking or what the Greeks are seeking. And he's already pointed out that this world's wisdom is not God's way. And that as we allow that perception of wisdom to infiltrate our understanding, that's precisely the sort of thing that rips us apart. It's a wisdom that is based on scarcity. It's a wisdom that is based on exalting one over another. And then Paul points out, look, there is no scarcity in Christ. All things are yours. Paul is yours. Apollos is yours. Peter is yours. Anything in this world, life, death, things present, things to come, they're all yours in Christ. In Christ, we are the inheritors of the world. Why are we squabbling over a few little crumbs? We are the inheritors of the whole world, of everything that is good in it. Why would we exalt one part of it above another? So Paul says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God. We are just servants, slaves. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. So the Corinthians have been judging one another, as we kind of tend to do too. They've been looking down on one another. And Paul says, look, I'm God's servant. I don't really care who judges me or what other people think about me. I don't even judge myself. Because like, if I look at myself, I don't see anything that I should be judging. But I don't know. There may be stuff that I've done that needs judging. There may be stuff that I think I did in good conscience and I actually had mixed motives. He says, and he's just talked about the coming judgment. He says, wait for that day when God will reveal the secrets of men's hearts. That's the day when everything will be revealed for what it truly is. And then that's the day when God judges. And each one's praise, the true praise that we are all working for and waiting for as followers of Jesus Christ, then everyone's praise will come from God Himself. Now these things, he says, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself, or applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from one another? And what did you have? What do you have that you did not receive? And now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So he's first of all saying, well, look, I've been talking about Apollos and myself mostly, but I've been doing this so that you can benefit. Who are we? We're just servants. Who are you? You're just servants. Who makes you different from one another? Because as Christians, we do celebrate diversity. We do celebrate the differences between us as gifts from God. Gifts that we are given, as Paul will later develop, to serve one another. But who made us different? Who gave us different gifts? Well, God. So in other words, you received who you are from God. So why are you boasting about who you are? Everything that you have, everything that makes you who you are, you receive from God. Why would you boast against one another? Why would you exalt yourself over and above one another? Why would you judge yourself or measure yourself by one another? Everything that you are and have, you have received. Paul goes on to speak somewhat mockingly of the Corinthians. You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I wish you did reign so that we might reign with you. But I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. These people have been, who Paul led to Christ, have been judging Paul. Therefore, they must be better. They must be full and rich and have all everything that and kingliness and everything that in by the world standards, because they're judging him by the world standards, then. They must have everything. How is it then that Paul has nothing? How is it then that Paul is still working with his own hands to support his ministry? How is it that Paul is not exalted or honored in any way? And then he goes, you know, he realizes, okay, maybe he's been a little hard on them. It's like, look, I'm not writing these things to shame you. I want to warn you. You're my children. There's, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you only have one Father. There's only one person who has led you to the Lord Jesus. And given that, imitate me. Remember my ways. Timothy is coming to you. He's going to remind you of the ways that I teach everyone in all the churches. Because a lot of what we hear here in 1 Corinthians, we've just heard in Romans, which admittedly is written a lot later than Corinthians. But it's the same thing. There is one way, the way of life. This is the way that we are all called to. This is the way we are called to live. It is a way of life. It's not just something you do on Sunday. It's something you do all the time that characterizes that should characterize and shape how we act and behave and think and respond at all times. This is the way that the early Christians followed, the way of Christ. And this is the way of humility, of humble service, where it's not about being exalted. It's not about being recognized. It's simply about serving as God calls us to, with the gifts that God has given us in love, serving the whole of the body. And as we do so, as we embrace this way of humility, this way of love, so all that divides us becomes unimportant. All that differentiates us is a gift from God. And all that is out there, all that is good, all that is pure, all that is noble, all that is lovely, all that will ultimately endure that final day of judgment is ours together in Christ. We have been given the riches of the universe by a God who loves us. Let us respond with love. Let us respond by living in the Spirit. Let us be the temple that we are called to be, to His glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and into ages of ages.